concept of God varies greatly. What I mean by that is that the way people view God, how they see Him, who He is, and what He does, it varies greatly among people. For instance, a child will have a very limited view of God. A child will trust God completely, but a child doesn't understand everything that's involved in trusting God. So their concept of God is very limited. There are others whose concept of God is that they view God as being cruel. They view God as being this heavenly policeman who sits up in the heavens with his heavenly radar gun. And he's waiting for us just to do any mistake so that he can punish us. And so their concept of God is that they view him who is someone who is cruel and who's just waiting to punish people. There are still others whose concept of God is atheistic. They just don't believe that God exists. In light of not just evidence, but in light of overwhelming evidence, they deny his existence. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is describing the Gentile world. The Gentiles were not given a written law so that they could know God. Israel was given that old law, but not the Gentiles. But even though the Gentiles didn't have a written law that they may come to know God, Paul says in Romans 1 and in verse 20 about them, Paul says that they are without excuse. That God has made himself clear and that God can be seen clearly in nature. And brethren, it goes back to the old argument, but it is so true. Design demands a designer. And when one looks at the intricacies of this universe and how this world runs, the evidence of a God is very clear. And so Paul says, look, you're without excuse about this. There are still others whose concept of God is what we will call polytheistic. That is, these people don't believe that there is just one God, but they believe that there are many gods. An example of this is found in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul went into the ancient city of Athens. When Paul went into Athens, Paul was taken aback by the city because it was just filled with idols. Historians from that time tell us that in that ancient city of Athens, that there were almost as many gods as there were people. And yet there are others then, their view of God is monotheistic. That is, they believe that there is only one God. And in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, Moses addresses that with Israel. In verse 4, when he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." So people's view, that is, people's concept of God and who he is and what he is and what he is like, it just runs the gamut and it runs the spectrum. So here's what we're going to do tonight about that. I want us to take a look tonight at four concepts that people have about God. And the four concepts that we are going to take a look at are the four concepts that are the most common about God. And most people who view God will view him through one of these four concepts. Number one tonight. There are those whose concept of God is that God is somebody that they can hide from. They can get away from him. Now, we see this first in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 17, God had told Adam and Eve that they could eat and do what they wanted in the garden, but in the middle of the garden there was one tree, and God says, don't touch that tree and don't eat of that tree, because the day you eat of it, you are going to die. That's Genesis 2 verse 17. Then in Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, Satan comes disguised as a serpent, and he has a discussion with Mother Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6, Eve commits sin by violating the law of God, and she took of it, and then she gave it to Adam, and Adam took of it. So both of them sin in Genesis 3 and in verse 6, and two verses later in Genesis 3 and in verse 8, we are told that they hid themselves in the garden. But you know what Adam and Eve found out? You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. If your concept of God is somebody that you can do what you want and hide from, if that's your concept, your view of God is wrong. Jonah, the Old Testament prophet, is another example of this. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God told the prophet Jonah, I want you to go to the wicked city of Nineveh, and I want you to cry out against their sins. Now follow this. From where Jonah lived to Nineveh was 550 miles to the east. Now, that was quite a challenge, because, I mean, Jonah wasn't going to fly there. But instead of going east to Nineveh, Jonah was going to go to Tarsus, and Tarsus was 2,500 miles west. So God said, listen, I want you to go east, and he went in the opposite direction, started out that way, 2,500 miles. But we know what happened to Jonah. The fish caught him and could only stomach him for like 3 days and then puked him up. Jonah found out what Adam and Eve found out. You can't hide. You can't get away from God. Now, Maybe you are one here tonight who thinks that God isn't aware of you. And maybe you are one who thinks that God doesn't know what you are doing, and that you can hide and get away from him. And I think what leads us to think this, I think what leads us to have this concept of God, is because we can hide things from the brethren. And we can hide things from our family. And we can hide things from our boss. And so we get this thought, well, if I'm able to hide things from all these people, then I can hide things from God too. But you can't hide from God. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, beholding both the evil and the good. In Psalm 139, David talks about this in verses 7 through 10. David says, "Where can I go to get away from you?" And David says, if I go into the heavens, you're there. If I go into the grave, you are there. If I go to the other side of the world, you are there. I got news for you. When you get there, God's already going to be there. You cannot hide from God. So whatever it is, that you have safely tucked away from us, God's looking at you. God knows what you're doing. You can't hide from God. Nobody knows. God knows. And you're sitting there thinking right now, he knows too. He just won't say it. Some people's concept of God is that they view God as someone they can hide from. You can't hide from God. Number two, there are other people's concept of God is that they view God as a God whose word is out of date. And that's their concept of God. When they look at God, what they view is that God is a God who has a book, but that his book in this enlightened age is out of date. Now, our sin problem is still the same. Therefore, our need of a Savior is still the same. Look with me in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Listen to what Peter says. He says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Let's stop right there. Everything around us is perishing. We know that. Everything around us is perishing, but the word of God stands. And in a world where it's all perishing, the Word of God is still living, and the Word of God is still abiding, and the Word will stand. Look at verse 25. But the Word of the Lord remains forever. We're all getting older, except me. We're all getting older. Everything around us is dying, but the Word of God is eternal. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Brethren, hear this and understand this well. The Bible, as it is sufficient to help us the way we are. Because we can't help ourselves. Not with our sin problem. We not only need direction in life, we need divine direction in life. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, cried in Jeremiah 10 and in verse 23, when Jeremiah said, O Lord, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And that's exactly the way it is. You and I are not capable, left to our own means and our own devices, to walk and to live and to step and to die the way that we ought to live, step, live, and die. We just can't do that. So if your concept of God is that He is a God whose word is out of date, you got the wrong concept. It's not the word that's out of step. It's we who are out of step. So there are some people whose concept of God is somebody I can hide from. There are other people whose concept of God is that God is somebody who has a book that's out of date. Number three. There are many people whose concept of God is that God is somebody who should prevent all suffering. Anybody in ministry knows this, and if you ask them, they will tell you this. Everybody in ministry knows this. One of the most, if not the most often asked question to us is the question that Gideon posed in the long ago in Judges chapter 6 and verse 13 when Gideon said, if God be for us, why has all this beset us? And the question that is asked most often. Listen, if God loves me, if God is with me, then why is all this happening to me? And there's people who view God as being somebody who should prevent all suffering. So here's what we're going to do. I want to give you three statements. Biblical statement, and the key thought there is biblical statement about suffering. I'm going to tell you three things about suffering. Number one, God created the world without suffering. Did you hear what I said? Now let me show you some. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the opening chapter of Genesis, tells the story of creation. The chapter ends, Genesis 1, in verse 31. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. That's how the creation is initially described. When God created the world, when the creation work was done, God said, it isn't good, it isn't enough to get by, it's very good. Are you listening? Satan corrupted God's world. Satan corrupted God's creation. In Genesis 3, Satan convinced Adam and Eve to bring sin into the world. If it hadn't been, listen, there was not sin, nor was there suffering in the world until the devil put his ugly hands on things. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Let no man say when I'm tempted that God is tempting me. Because God can't tempt anybody to do evil, and neither can God himself be tempted. But man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And when sin came into the world, in the Garden of Eden, when sin came into the world, death came with it, and sickness and suffering and disease came with it. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 5 and in verse 12, when Paul says, for by one man, Adam, for by one man sin entered into the world, and with sin came death. God created the world without suffering. It was Satan who corrupted God's world. Second statement about this. Much of your suffering and my suffering is because of the sin of other people. Other people. Let me illustrate. I walk out on the sidewalk right here in front of the building, and a man who's drunk gets behind the wheel of a car, loses control of the car, comes up on the sidewalk, and hits me. And I'm crippled for the rest of my life. I will suffer for the rest of my life because of somebody else's sin. Much of our suffering is because of the sins of other people. Not things we brought on ourselves, but things that others have brought on to us. You say that isn't fair. Who said life's fair? Third statement, and I'm going to sum it up. Third statement about suffering is that much of our suffering is due to our own sin. To our own sin. Here is a young person who turns to drugs. They turn to drugs. They turn to cigarettes. They get sick. They die prematurely. That is self-inflicted suffering. Amen? That's self-inflicted. You did that. How is God responsible? You say, well, why doesn't God stop that? Because God made you and I free moral agents with the ability to choose, and the thing that God is not going to do is take away our freedom from choice, because God made men and women. He didn't make robots. And if God takes away the free will of the man who run me over, he's got to take away everybody else's free will, because God is no respecter of person. Actions have consequences. Most of the time, good actions have good consequences, and bad actions have bad consequences. And it's amazing when people do stupid stuff and it blows up in their face, and then they're looking for somebody else to point the finger at. Look, that's on you. You did that. So people have, their concept of God is that I can hide from him. And they think that because they can hide from their husband or their wife, they can hide from God. There are others whose concept of God is that God's got a book, but that book is out of date. That book, ladies and gentlemen, is not out of date. Others, many people, honestly believe that what God ought to do, their concept of God is that God ought to prevent all suffering. God cannot prevent all suffering, because you and I are free moral agents and we get to choose. Number four. There are many, many others, and their concept of God is that God should never let anyone be lost. You ever hear that? We've all heard that. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Many's view of God is that God should never allow anyone to be lost. Let me make this very clear. Many people are going to be lost. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, if you know the difference between the word many and the word few, you can figure this out. Many are going to be lost. Now, you say, but and a lot of people's concept, well, God shouldn't allow anybody to be lost. Many are going to be lost. But what you need to understand is that it is God's will that no one be lost, and it's God's will that all be saved. That's what God's ideal will is. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul said that God would have all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But listen, though it is God's ideal will that nobody be lost, many are going to be lost because we have the choice to make. You have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. So let's ask this. What should our concept of God be then? How should we view God? How should we see him? John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 4 and verse 8, John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, God is love. And that's what our concept of God ought to be. That God is love. Do you understand that everything, think about this, everything that God does is for our benefit. Everything He does is for our benefit. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Baptism is what places me into the death of Jesus. Romans 6 and verse 3, Paul says that for as many of us as were baptized into His death. The act of baptism placed me in the death of Jesus Christ. And the reason that is important is because it was in His death that Jesus shed His blood. And it's in the act of baptism where I come in contact with that shed blood. When Paul says we are baptized into the death of Jesus, what he is saying is that we are baptized into the benefits of His death. And when we are baptized, we contact the saving blood of Jesus. And according to Acts 22:16, it washes us from our sins. Do you know that God did all of that for your benefit and for mine? We were fallen, sinful creatures, and God reached out and saved us. We are still sinful creatures. But God said, if you will walk in the light, the blood that was shed at Calvary 2,000 years ago will tonight, right here in the city of Detroit, continue to keep cleansing you from your sins. God did that for our benefit. So when you view God, your conception of Him ought to be, He loves me. He loves me. And everything He does is for my benefit. And if I'm His, I can stay His, and nobody can take me away from Him. Now, I can choose to walk away, but nobody can make me go away. If you're here this evening and if you're not a New Testament Christian, we encourage you to be baptized tonight to contact that saving blood. If you're here tonight and you're away from God, realize who He really is. Realize what He's really done for you. If you need to come, you can do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.